Before this message commences, we would like to apologize for the poor audio quality. Kindly listen carefully and you will still be blessed.
Alright, let's begin today from the book of Philippians chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, please open there with me. Now, we have been speaking on what we call the series called Faith Basics, and a few weeks ago, I began to speak on what I called how to increase your faith. If you are listening to it, it may appear like I don't know what I'm talking about, how to increase your faith. But actually, I do. And I'm going to, as I'm going on, we'll see things tying together. We are still on faith basics, just like the last two episodes, and today also, we are going to talk with a leaning towards having your faith increased. And I said that at the beginning, that what I'm teaching, a lot of it you will find in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. Don't ever forget this. What's most important in Christianity is a matter of faith. It is not what you achieved materially. It's not what you achieved outwardly. It's how much your faith is purified that is important when we're talking about our Christianity. And that's why the Bible talks about the trial of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes. Do you understand my point? And that's the most precious thing that men knew outwardly, gold. And the Bible says that your faith is more important than that. Therefore, your faith must be tried so that it might be purified. And one of our favorite scriptures in recent times, book of Revelation chapter 3, and the Lord Jesus was sending a message to the church in Laodicea, and outwardly they were successful. Outwardly they had everything, like we both these days in modern day Pentecostalism. We speak as if our God is a God of cars and mansions and big churches and big buildings. Alright? And now, please don't get me wrong, alright? People tend to swing to extremes. I'm not saying to drive a very nice car is wrong, I'm not saying for churches to have very nice buildings is wrong, but that's not what our God is about. Do you understand my point?
Yes, sir.
Most certainly, that is not what He is about. Alright? Please, it's very important we get that point. That's not what God is about. And therefore, when those people had all those things and they were bragging and they did not have the things that was most important, Jesus said to them that you think you are rich, alright? You think you have need of nothing, except for you don't understand that you are wretched, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. And these are the people that are bragging outwardly that our God is not a poor God. They are bragging that God, their faith has produced a lot of things. And Jesus said, no, that's not what is important. What is important, you have missed out on it. And what's important is the purification of your faith. So when we're talking in Christianity, our faith is what's most important. Please, don't ever forget this. Adversities come in life, they are not big deals. Do you follow my point? Job was placed in there to let us understand that a righteous man can go through troubles. What's most important is that in the midst of his troubles and at the end of his troubles, what did he come out with? A purer faith that he went into that trial with. And all through, he did not deny God. That's what's important as far as God is concerned. So you can lose things. It's not a big deal. Alright? Material things are one of the least important things as far as God is concerned. Alright? What's most important is our faith and our walk with God. I hope you understand that point. Alright, so that's what we're talking about, how to increase that faith. If it's so important, we must understand, therefore, how to increase it. So we're talking about how to increase that faith, and last week, I said some things which I would like to emphasize again, and say it maybe in a short time, just summarize it, and from there go into it in a deeper fashion. Now, I said we should put the book of Philippians chapter 1, right? Alright, let's read it, then I'll begin to review what I said last time. Where I want to read is very long. I will jump a bit of it. Let's just start from verse 12, and where I am going is verse around 25, 26. So please, let's just together read, spend some time. From verse 12, there's actually one particular verse I'm going for, but let's just read everything. He said, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ, I'm reading the New American Standard, has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope. that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Let me read that again. That's my most important verse in all this reading. He said, that I shall not be put to shame, that's my expectation and hope, in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. And convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Please let me read a few verses again. Verse 20, he said that this is what my expectation, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that Christ Jesus, all right, shall even now as always be exalted in my body. Listen to this. Whether by life or by what? Death. Whether by life or by what? Death. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That is, whichever way, Jesus is exalted in my life. Now, that's very important. The reason why I read this, let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 31. We read that last time, that Moses was saying that God is going to go ahead and deliver to you the land, alright? He said, but it is Joshua that he's going to walk through. For that reason, he turned to Joshua and said, be strong and courageous, verse 7. For you shall go with these people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. Please, I want you to understand this. I heard a series on radio then, which I titled Motivation for Living. Please, I want you to, this is what I want to say very carefully. If you read the book of Matthew chapter 11, which we all know very well, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and what? My burden is what? Light. Now, please, there's something I want to bring out today. That's the main cross what I want to preach towards today. That the lifestyle of Christianity, there's something about it. I said something to us last time, alright? That there's a difference between spiritualism and spirituality. Now, I borrowed that word, spiritualism, from John Gillick, but you understand what I'm saying if I explain it again. What do I mean by spiritualism? I said that the realm of the spirit is real. It's practical. It's nothing highfalutin. Do you get my point? If you have never studied physics, if a man who studies physics wants to play you, are you? Do you follow my point? You will think that the man has more sense than you. The fact is that he studies physics and you did not study physics. Do you get the point? If you too study physics, you will know how those things work. That's all. The established laws, you can learn them, practice them, and get the results. Therefore, the fact that something works is not a sign that it is necessarily the active will of God. When I mean active will of God now, you know that anything that goes up must come down. Doesn't mean you should throw up your egg and it falls down and it breaks. Do you understand my point? Alright, that's what I mean. So, the issue of gravity is the will of God. God wrote the law of gravity and put it into motion. So the fact that something works alone does not just mean that that means that's what God wants us to do. Some things are just basic to life. And spiritual things are like that. I'm saying that again and again. Therefore, if you don't know spiritual things, and a man who knows spiritual things comes and teaches you what he knows, alright, he can bamboozle you and you think he's smarter or better, or you know, he has entered into certain realms and it starts confusing you. That's just because he has tapped into how to use some spiritual laws, just like a man who learned physics and is using those things to bamboozle ignoramus. You know what I mean? People who don't know are impressed. Therefore, I told you before several times, I picked the books, you know, you can't pick how much read their books. They practice simple spirituality. There's no big deal. And the first day I encountered the great message, when they finished talking plain, I said, what's all of this plain confusion? You can only confuse those who don't know anything. Are you getting my point? Listen, some of those things, I'm not saying they are good or anything, but to me, when I look at men practicing them, like, why are you wasting time? Are you getting my point? Spiritualism, oftentimes, is what we preach and we claim it works. There's a world of difference between spiritualism and spirituality? I said that last week. Let me not waste all the time now. What is spirituality? And that's my message again for today. Now, every man's labor is for his belly. That's what the Bible says, right? But Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 4, he said, my own food is what? To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his works. Therefore, whatever we are practicing must be for the purpose that God has for our lives. That's what I'm going to bring out here. Now, bear that one in mind. Don't ever forget it. Then I was quoting Matthew chapter 11. I said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There was something my mechanic used to say those days. In fact, somewhere down this road where I don't know why his shop is still there. I don't use the Mercedes anymore. So he was a Mercedes mechanic. So if he tends to buy a spare part, alright, he had a philosophy. He said that anything the manufacturer makes is easy. So if you trying to change a spare part and they are hammering and hammering, he said something is wrong with what we're doing. That the way they make these cars, it shouldn't be this difficult. They are trying to install something, say something is wrong. That if it's this difficult, something is wrong. And oftentimes it's proved right. And I didn't buy the correct one, you look at it again, say, no, it's not for this particular brand. This for another one. Then look, I've told you guys, this thing is not supposed to be this hard. The man who manufactured it did not make it to be this difficult. That if you have the right tools, you have the right parts, there should be no suffering on this matter. I never forgot that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now that's how Christianity is. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is what?
Light.
Therefore, if anything is appearing difficult, we are not doing what we have been asked to do. Because as a matter of fact, the Lord always supplies grace. Grace is what characterizes Christianity. What is grace? It's when God supplies his own power to help you do what he has asked you to do in life. I like what Lord Chamber said. He said, watch the things that exhaust you. He said, they are the very things that God has not given you grace for. Alright? And that means that you are not walking. I can't put him verbatim now, right? But what he was saying is that means you are not walking in line with what God wants you to do. That if you were walking in line with what God wants to do, as soon as you are getting worn out, that the Spirit of Christ in you will quickly rejuvenate your body again. And you find that you are always refreshed. That when a man is always worn out, he's not doing what he's been asked to do. He's doing something that God is not supplying grace for. What am I saying? Christianity is like that. Jesus said it as a matter of fact. My yoke is easy, and what?
My
burden is light. Now let's talk about that yoke briefly. When you use the word yoke and burden, I like one that Jesus did not say. You know, I'm happy he didn't say that I don't have a yoke, I don't have a body. Take my yoke, just open the Bible, I can just break my desk while I'm talking about it. Matthew chapter 11. Okay, now verse 29. Alright. He said, come to you all who are weary and heavy laden. He said, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Please, I want to understand and to note that first line. Take my yoke upon you. That is, I have a yoke and you must take it. And you take it by learning from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. He said, because my yoke is easy, and my load or my burden is what? Light. Now, this is what I want to understand. That Jesus did not say, I don't have a yoke. He didn't say, I don't have a burden. Are you getting my point? He just said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is what?
Light.
It's light. Let me just play add this one to it. The reason why his yoke is easy, and his burden is light, is because when you are carrying it, alright, it supplies you strength to carry it. If you want to weigh literally, it may appear heavier than the one that other people are carrying. The difference is just that his own supplies the grace. But this point I want to bring up, that people are heavy laden, they are having troubles in life. One of the problems they have is that they want to just cast away all the load upon them. Let me explain this to you again. That is a problem in what we call civilization today, the civilized countries, the civilized world. Now, because sometimes religion without the life of Christ appears to a yoke on you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, without the life of Christ, and that's what happened with the Jews here, that the one Jesus was talking to, they had problems. These are religious people. The laws of Moses were cumbersome for them, alright? And when Christianity loses the flavor, the spirit that Christ has put inside it, the same problem arises. And now, what they did was that they cast away all the yokes that were there without replacing it with the yoke of Christ Jesus. Now, the only thing that leads to it is what? Troubles. I don't want to go down that line explaining that. So all the confusion, I always give it as an example. This is a very good example. Let's take marriage as an example. You know, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, in fact, let me just say like this. Englishman say you can't have two captains in one boat. You know that. Now, whichever way you look at it, marriage is impossible if the Spirit of Christ is not in there. If you want to live it out the way God expects it to be, it's not possible. You cannot have two co-heirs with Christ. Are you getting my point? Both of them with the calling of God in their lives. Both of them loving the Lord. And Paul saying in Christ Jesus is neither male nor female. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can't have all of that, have full expression of the life of Christ, of the life of God in both people, if you don't have the life of Christ to sustain it. It's not possible. I said it before, what Christianity did, what Jesus did was to liberate people. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, alright, to liberate the oppressed, those that are downtrodden, to liberate those who have broken, all those things. You understand my point? So people who were oppressed, Christ liberated them. And one of the most oppressed people on earth before Christ Jesus were women. That's a matter of fact. That's a matter of fact. Is that okay? Now, what happens is that you go to countries where Christ liberated everybody. Then they now say that man and woman are equal before God. Amen? Is that a lie? It's not a lie. It's a matter of fact. Then they try to practice that thing without the Spirit of Christ. Now, at the end of the day, divorce 90%. Listen. Look, listen, that is your own neighborhood. There's no other way to go. If you hear that marriages are stable in Asia, why ask women in Asia whether they can talk? No, go and ask. They can't talk. There are women who can't look up at their husband's faces to talk. So the marriages are very stable. Very stable. In fact, the teacher said like this. That when a strong man keeps his goods are safe. Literally means they are undisturbed. If the devil is raiding a home, there's no trouble. Everybody's in line. Some of the signs that deliverance has come is strong. I hope you know what I'm saying. You come down to Africa and do the same principle. Anywhere you see that a woman can talk and be heard, listen, the bus must go up, the rate must go up, except as the Spirit of Christ. Believe me. Look, I can't go into details about that now. I'm talking about this issue of taking the yoke. So you can't just take the deliverance of Christ Jesus and not take his yoke. It only leads you to more trouble. I'm telling you, the only thing it gives you is what? Troubles. Let's take the anointing of God. Listen, if God did not make Saul king, he would have lived longer. You would not have known the trouble in that guy's life if he was not killed. That's what I want to understand. I'm a preacher, so I understand these issues. It's like being a preacher. Preachers. I've told you before, their life is short, more than average. It sounds funny. Because if you take that anointing on you, it exposes you to all kinds of troubles. It's like you want to be a policeman. Better go and kill the love of money because you will die early. You know, let me tell you something here. Yeah. I wish you get what I'm saying. There are positions that once you hold, they expose the iniquity inside you and they lead you to judgment. What I'm saying is a matter of fact. That if you didn't hold that post, if they didn't give you authority to be able to stop anything and arrest and lock up the way you like, when you are broke, you will have gone to pray. But now that somebody has given you the power to oppress somebody else, in the time of your affliction, you oppress somebody else, and God takes a knife and cuts your head. And that's a problem, I'm telling you, people in ministry. That's why, as a preacher, you have to discipline yourself very well. Because the power that God gives you as you handle His word, it has a serious risk. And you get what I'm saying? That's what happens with the deliverance that Jesus gives. Once He gives people deliverance and they don't drink of His Spirit properly, they enter into more trouble. I realize something. Don't ever forget this. When the Bible says our God is a consuming fire, He wasn't talking to unbelievers. He was talking to believers.
Because he's slow to anger. It means he never gets angry. And the people who are slow to anger, you know, they are the ones that are worst in anger. Listen, I'm looking at an issue here. Please don't forget what I'm saying. This Christianity is a matter of fact. I said something to us before. If you leave Egypt, you must enter the promised land. Once you leave Egypt, misbehavior leads to death in the wilderness. If you don't want to die in the wilderness, just stay in Egypt. But once you leave Egypt, my boy, you must perform, behave, align, correct your brain, do everything to go enter that promised land nicely. Otherwise, they bury you in the wilderness. That's how God is. So Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. What does that mean? I'm not just setting you free for nothing. I put another yoke upon you. What's a yoke? A yoke, literally, what that yoke means, all right, is that when they wanted to plow fields those days or drag load, drag a chariot, whatever it is, there's this harness you put around the neck of the animals. All right, tie them, whether it's one or two together, purely made of wood. All right? It's a sign that the animal is walking. Now you get what I'm saying? That's a sign that the animal is walking. So when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, what is saying that you are going to start walking for me? You are going to start living for me. Now that scripture, please let's open the scripture and read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is what Christianity is. So I told that it's different from spiritualism. Spiritualism is when you are operating another level of laws which are spiritual. You've come to have understanding. And the understanding is a spiritual matter. So, people will tell you that even Muslims practice this and it works. I've analyzed it. I've listened to a lot of messages, analyzed it, and it's analyzed a lot of things that we teach. It's pure spiritualism. And I said to us earlier, that's why it appears hard sometimes. That's why. Because when God, like I'm going to bring out here, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Alright? And Jesus said, my yoke is easy. That is, I have a yoke. That's what I'm going to emphasize. I have a yoke. Now, when I'm using the knowledge of the laws of the Spirit, and I'm aligning myself with the yoke that Jesus has placed upon my neck, so that my food is now to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work, you will discover that everything in Christianity is easy. Are you getting my point? Listen, don't think those who were sacrificing themselves for the gospel's sake were crying as they were doing it. No, they were enjoying it. They were enjoying it. The first time they whipped the apostles, what did they do? They rejoiced. We too. We have been counted worthy. That is, they enjoyed it. And you follow what I'm saying? Why? Because they were wearing his yoke. That's why the whipping was easy. Now listen, I said something to us before. That if you are taking a step of faith, and it is reasonable, sorry, and it's unreasonable to you, what word did I use? Foolishness. Yes. As if you are doing something that's supposed to be faith, and to you is foolishness, believe me, it's entirely what? Foolishness. That a man who's observing from outside is the person who calls the acts of faith foolish. The man doing the acts of faith don't think they are foolish. If at any point you think what you are doing is foolish, believe me, it's foolish. The cross was not foolishness to God, you know that. It is to the world observing that thing is foolishness. In the same manner, listen to me. When I'm saying that the yoke of Christ Jesus is easy, it is not of the people observing. The people observing still think it's madness. They think it is heavy. It is the person carrying it that discovers the ease in it. You think when John the Baptist was inside the wilderness, well, eating locusts and wild honey and wearing only goat skin, you think he was shivering the cold? Feel like, you just do this one because of God. But if not, because kind of, if it's not God, people can't rubbish this one. But what's there inside the city, they ensure, I just there and suffer like this, I just suffer anyhow. Eh? What kind of rubbish is that? No. He will cross his leg, listen to me, and have as much comfort as the man in the palace in his soul. You know, God has able to understand that one. I want to have many things, be able to do many things, but I have discovered everything. That there's no greater comfort in life than the one I have right now. What I told you is a matter of fact. And listen, you are not ready to prosper until you can say that. Did you hear what I said? If you think that when I get to America, life will be easy, you won't get there. That is, you must discover the ease of God inside your soul now. It's all where? In the heart. I'm going to issue here. That the yoke of Christianity is only easy to the person who's carrying it joyfully with the will of God in his heart. Those outside will actually think you're very stupid. They will actually think life is hard for you. This is what I have learned, not to feel sorry for anybody who's making serious sacrifices for the will of God in their lives. Because as a matter of fact, if they are really doing it as a matter of the will of God, as a matter of taking the yoke of Christ Jesus, both of us sleep just as well as one another. That is why the sleep of a wicked man is not easy. That is why in the midst of abundance, his soul is not at rest. Are you getting my point? That's a matter of fact. Because if God doesn't pour rest into you, you can't have rest. No matter what you have outside, you cannot have rest. That's a matter of fact. So please, I'm going to emphasize something here. So you find that the yoke we are talking about, it is the person carrying it that is easy. I'm not going to say that Christianity makes life easier for everybody. Did I say that? No. I'm saying if you locate yourself in the center of God's will for your life, alright, you will discover as much ease as anybody can find in life. And there's nobody on earth that does not have challenges. There's nobody. There's nobody. There's nobody. Some people think that people like Bill Gates, what they worry about? He's worried about the future of Microsoft. You don't know that. You think the hunger is only worry in life? Hunger is one of the smallest worries in life. There are worries that are worse than hunger. Do you follow the point I'm making? So everybody has worries in life, alright? But the man who's bearing the cross of Christ Jesus, carrying the yoke of Jesus in his life, you discover that indeed the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Now listen to this. There's 7 verses at the 5. I want to read something here. It's just one verse I want to read, 2 verses. 15 is what I want, but I like to read the context. It says, for the love of Christ controls us, having completed this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Now, please notice that this is the yoke of Christ Jesus. That when a man carries his yoke, Paul was explaining, he no longer lives for himself, but he starts living for the person who died and rose again on his behalf. Let's go back to where I was before. I said that spiritualism, let's ever forget that. A lot of those things we practice is pure spiritualism. This might sound controversial, but let me say so that the controversy can start. We used to practice things like this. Write this on the wall. Focus on it. You get my point? It was very popular in one book those days. If you want a kind of car, take a photograph of it, describe it in detail, put the 20 points concerning it on the wall, and everything be looking at it, and reciting it, and reciting it. And people tell you it works. That's how I got my house. That's how I got my car. That's how I got my wife. That's how I got my shoe. That's how I got my visa. That's how I got my anything I want. Alright? And we say it works. I see that's the proof of its authenticity. Alright? Now, I said something earlier. There's nothing wrong with it. It works. But like the man, listen, who practiced 20 years so as to be able to walk across the river. Jesus said that whatsoever you shall ask, that's how Christians get it. You have not because you ask not. Anything that includes painting a picture on your wall and worshipping that image every day is not Christianity. I said it's not controversial. Because you hear preachers preaching every day. You put it there and start focusing. And start focusing. Don't let your eyes deviate. Confess. Confess. Call it to be. It's plain spiritualism. How Christians get things, they do what? That's the end of it. That is Christianity. That's why you go and check. You know, I did an analysis some time ago. That's why most of these Eastern religions don't have a personal God. What I mean, you know, like, you talk about Buddhism. Buddhism is not a God, really. Not a God. No. He was a teacher who showed them a path, do you understand, to what they call enlightenment. And they are trying to follow the path towards that enlightenment. They don't really worship, really. No, you may see acts of worship, but if you go into their teachings, there's nothing like, there's no relationship with anybody. That is where only Islam comes close to Judaism and Christianity. All other religions, the ones that have any God there, they have 25,722 of them. That's because I came up with it arbitrarily. I hope you don't. Are you following my point? Yes, when I study all the, whether it's Buddhism, whatever it is, all those Eastern religions, they do practice all forms of spiritual laws. And believe me, they work. They work. But in Christianity, I can paint a picture on my wall for all I care. I'm fine. You know what I mean? You can do any paint. But indeed, God has a will. And you get my point? That's the difference. I can say, okay, this is the kind of woman I want to marry. This height, this complexion, this shape, this state of origin. When you finish all of that, God says, listen, before you were born, I knew you. And I appointed your wife. You want a woman from Imo State, there's one from Kaduna. That's the one I appointed. Are you getting my point? Say, write Imo on your wall all you want. You will marry from Kaduna unless you want to marry out of my will. And listen to this, many Christians are married out of the will of God. Therefore, don't come and confuse me with the testimony. That is exactly how I wanted it to be. And it should be 5 foot, 7.265 inches. And on the colorimeter, her complexion will reach. So you can see on the colorimeter, this is how she will look like. You can describe anything if you want. And this is exactly what I wanted, and I put it like that. You know what I found out these days? It does not impress me. I always like to give example because I read another scripture, so follow something here. As a matter of fact, God has the will for the life of Christians, for their lives. And that includes who they are going to marry. And that's why the Bible says it clearly. And let's stop being stupid. You know what I'm stupid? When Jesus said, don't do it, he said, it doesn't matter, we can do it. He said, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Therefore, don't put physical characteristics on your wall. The Bible says it's deceitful, and not only is it deceitful, it is vain. So if you have to put something on your wall, try, forget your wall. Write on your heart before God. Say, Lord, you will give me a wife who fears the Lord. Mm-hmm. I always say something. God knows you more than you know yourself. He loves you more than you love yourself. He has better plans for you than you can imagine. In fact, Paul said it clearly. He's able to do exceedingly far above all we can ask or imagine. Your diagrams of the world are limitations of the plan of God concerning your life. They are limitations. 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 Oh God, God is helping me. Because for a long time, what we preach and practice and preached is spiritualism. And we bragged on the results thereof. I wanted a house like this. I continued to confess it and I got it. It's spirituality. That's not spirituality. It's not Christianity. It's not spirituality. I didn't say it's sin or iniquity. That's it. I didn't say it's wickedness. I just said it's inferior to the plan of God. It is. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. That is, if your name is Moses, if you like, imagine an incubate palace. From now till tomorrow, I'm kicking you into the wilderness. That is, do all you want concerning imagination and incubation. That is Buddhism. That's not Christianity. Christianity is that, oh boy, and that's what I said to Joshua, I have a purpose for your life. You are going to help these people inherit the land. Simple. That's it. All your imaginations and incubations and calculations must be towards helping these people do what? Inherit their land. That's all. I'm telling you, that's what Christianity is. Therefore, when we walk with a sense of purpose. That's what point I'm coming to. I'm talking about how to increase your faith. Remember we read from Joshua. He talked about courage. Courage comes from Joshua. Listen, that's what I'm going to bring about a matter of grace. You need courage to triumph in life. Do you get my point? Courage will be difficult for you if you're not following God's order, God's plan. It will be difficult to resist temptations if you are not in the place where you are supposed to be. Why? Because this is Christianity. It's called grace. Grace is the power that God pours into you to do that which is pleasing to Him.